Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be yours this day. I would like to read as the foundation of our meditation this morning, St. Luke's account of the Transfiguration, which event we celebrated yesterday and is the theme for this week. It is significant that Luke, as is generally true of the other three synoptic gospels and evangelists as well, places the story of the Transfiguration immediately after Christ's first prophecy concerning his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection. That is to say, it comes at a place in the gospel story where the question has come up most vividly and directly, who do men say that I am? Who is this one who has been going about preaching the coming of the kingdom? Who is this one who has been going about healing the sick and the palsied and throwing out the demons? And indeed, in Luke's gospel, multiplying bread, bringing about, if you will, the paradise of the last age. Who is he? And some 8 days after these sayings, that is to say, after the sayings concerning Jesus' requirement as Messiah that he suffer and die, it came about that Jesus took along Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And it came about, as these were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not realizing what he was saying. And while Peter was yet saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found to be alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. Liturgically, the festival of Transfiguration sits between the grandiose texts of appearance and power and glory of the Epiphany season and the lowly hiddenness of suffering and death of Lent and Good Friday. It is, however, even within the gospel stories themselves, a grand appearance, always at the edge of lowliness. As it were, making sure that we really know in all of this that the lowliness of the cross is chock full of glory, power, might. That he who has come to die is none other than the King of Glory. Luke places the gospel, the word of the Transfiguration, not only after the words concerning who Jesus is. The Transfiguration is placed also after a little discussion concerning who the Christian is. Words about he who will be my disciple must take up his cross and follow me daily. That is to say that the glory of the Christian life is also the glory of the cross, the glory of lowliness, the glory of being servant. Yes, within the context of worship and indeed of God's own economy, the lowliness that we heard last Friday, for example, of the forgiveness of sins, the lowliness of the waters of baptism and the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, the lowliness of prayer, constantly the lowliness of being under the cross. Luke, it's always been my opinion, has a better account of the transfiguration, if you will, than the others. He makes it abundantly clear what's going on here. The two are speaking of Jesus' death, the Exodus, as he calls it, reminding us that this one is the very fulfillment of all the promises given to Israel in the Old Covenant, that this one is the new Moses of whom Deuteronomy spoke, who would put a new law into the hearts of men whereby they would become obedient because they are bound up with him, the obedient son. This Exodus is none other than his death, whereby he would sum up all the promises laid upon the shoulders of the lambs of God of the Old Testament. For this one is none other than the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one whose death is chock full of resurrection. Maybe, just maybe, that's why Elijah is here, who did not taste death, as those who believe on the name of this one will not taste death. Transfiguration tells us that Christ is not only transfigured, but we are transfigured in him. The collect for transfiguration contains both these thoughts. O God, who in the glorious transfiguration of thine only begotten Son has confirmed the mystery of the faith by the testimony of the fathers. He's the fulfillment of all prophecy. And O God, who in the voice that came from the bright cloud didst in a wonderful manner foreshadow the adoption of sons, mercifully vouchsafe to make us, quote, heirs with the King of his glory, and bring us to the enjoyment of the same. May we pray the transfiguration will be the festival of our transfiguration, as daily we take up the cross, as we go to the knees in forgiveness, as we rise in forgiveness, as we remember daily our baptism whereby he who was killed for us has been sealed for our resurrection, whereby we go to the Lord's Supper, where we receive no longer the bloody mass, but the glorified body and blood of him who died. As we enter now into the Lenten season, and proceed along the ponderous and lowly path of Lent to Good Friday, the light of the transfigured Christ shines from our back, letting us never forget that before us, the end of the way is Easter, wherein we have the fullness of life with him who is life, where we have the truth of our own lives, which is from him who is the truth, and where we have, yea, in the midst of this life, the power of the resurrection, because we have been joined with him who is the resurrection.